Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life. That's the purpose of the Bible. So in our short time here on the earth, He gave us enough to get us into heaven. But if you don't even take that first step, you'll come out with vanity of vanities and you'll miss heaven.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message entitled The Purpose of the Bible, where we learned that the Bible is more relevant than this morning's newspaper. It's filled with lessons to learn and examples to follow. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that through the Bible, we find the means to eternal life. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Purpose of the Bible.
But Solomon, whose head must have been just massive because his brain was so good, he said, I'm going to try to figure out life under the sun. You know what that means? Without God. Just scientifically, because my mind is so good. I'm going to try to figure out the purpose of mankind, the purpose of life, scientific genetics. I'm going to study all of these things under the sun or under heaven. It means not using God or not using heaven. I'm just going to try and figure it out. And so you'll read the whole book of Ecclesiastes where he tried to figure out stuff about his body, his anatomy, about insects, about people, about sexuality, about women. And he just did everything under the sun. And then you'll come to Ecclesiastes 12, the last chapter in that book, verse 13. He comes to the point where he said this. You can read it there someday, and it says this. Here's the conclusion. I tried to be scientific and not include God. Here's a conclusion. When after all is heard, here it is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Now remember, this guy's the most brilliant scientist, geneticist, biochemist. He's the best quantum physicist around. And when he tries to keep God out of everything just so he can figure it out himself, at the end of his life, he says, whew, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. What do you mean? Without God, you can't figure it out. Because if God is not involved, it brings you to a dead end in the end. So here it is. I've spent my whole life doing this. Here it is. And he's a lot smarter than us. Fear God, keep God's commandments. You should do that in the beginning, not in the end. Now I figure, if Solomon is that smart and he came to that conclusion in the end, you and I could be smarter if we come to that conclusion in the beginning. You understand the examples to follow and the lessons to learn? This is a fabulous book because every problem you will have gone through, someone already has, and they're a lot smarter than us. And they leave crumbs behind. But we're going to have a tendency to miss it all because we're trying to figure things out without God. And once you do that, you mess everything up. Did you know that right now, the Gallup poll has done a survey, 70% of Americans believe a great deal or somewhat in evolution. That's a life that has been formed without God's involvement. But if you take a look at any of the professors in any college, and by the way, if you're a student going into college and you say you're a Christian, it reduces your, in their eyes, it reduces your credibility of having any certified scientific understanding. If you want to have scientific achievement, you have to look at this as a myth. That's just the society that we live in. And we have to say, doesn't matter. In the end, fear God and keep His commandments. Start with the end in mind. And then God will reveal to you the rest. But if you take a look at scientists, they do wonderful things. They're trying to figure everything out. But you're going to have some things that they're going to insert into their explanations where they can't understand. They'll call it different things. They'll call it a Cambrian explosion if you're taking vertebrate evolution biology. They're going to have different code words. You're going to have another thing called punctuated equilibrium. Sounds crazy, but it's over my head. But let me just explain it. Punctuated equilibrium means that when the eras of millions of years have passed, and they say right here there was an explosion where thousands of species mutated and all of a sudden became complete in their adaptive forms. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but they said all of a sudden everything just evolved into their completed forms. We call it a Cambrian explosion. Something happened. If you say, well, maybe that's when God created man. Oh, no. It was a punctuated equilibrium. Well, equilibrium means to balance, all right? So what they're saying is it punctuated history and something came into balance. Well, what about God? Oh, no. We just can't explain it. It was a miracle, though. But what about God? Oh, no. No, it's just a punctuated equilibrium. I said, wait a minute. You know what that's like, punctuated equilibrium? It's like when you're going through your checkbook and you're trying to balance it and you're $18 off. And you try to find where the $18 are, but the bank says you got $18 more than what your math says. You say, you know, I can't figure this out. So you know what? I'm going to say right here in my checkbook, praise the Lord, a miracle happened. I have $18 more. $18. Okay, now it's equal. That's what they do. It's called punctuated equilibrium. I can't figure it out, so we just factor it in. We call it a Cambrian explosion. Well, if you check with scientists, they disagree because they can't figure it out under the sun. Can't figure it out under heaven. God has to be involved. Otherwise, in the end, it'll come to a dead-end road. So when you look in the Bible, although it has history in it, would you look for this and would you write down a number three? Look for eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Look for eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Because see, the Bible will never change. Now you have to stay with me. I'm going to explain something to you. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. This applies to every man. Now you're going to have to resist getting caught into the centrifugal sway of what's going on. That's why the scripture says in Romans 12, would you read it in your notes with me? Go. Do not be conformed to the world, but be by the renewing of your, so you may prove what the will of God is. If you get conformed to the world, you'll never know what God's will is for you. But if you say, wait a minute, this book is to teach me about eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, what about dinosaur eras? What about Cro-Magnon man? What about, well, again, remember, Solomon tried to figure everything out without God. And he came to the phrase, vanity of vanities. I can't figure it out under the sun or under heaven. And whenever you see the phrase under the sun or under heaven, that means trying to live life without God's involvement. Solomon tried it because he's brilliant. He said, let's just try to figure it out without God. And even if the wisest man could not do it, we probably should take that as a lesson to be learned. Let's read what it says in Ecclesiastes 1:13 as he starts his journey. Read it with me. Go. I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom all that has been done. Ah. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. Yeah. He said, I can't figure it out. I've tried it and I've tried it and I've tried it. Some people say, but wait a minute. The Bible says that God created the world in 6 days. Explain that. The world is probably a billion plus years old. You can't believe this Bible that says God created in 6 days. This is crazy. I said, oh no, if God says he did it in 6 days, he did it in 6 days. No, you're not even scientifically rational. Oh, probably more than you are. He did it in 6 days. You always start with this is the truth, and we got to figure it out along the way. Don't start off with, we're the truth, and God has to fit into our standard of measure. That is arrogant, and it's very unscientific. That is irresponsible science. You always start with the one that you may not understand, but he is a creator. Start there. He said, well, how in the world would you do that? Real simple. You see, first of all, we find in the book of Matthew that the essence of God is light. God is light, and there is in him no darkness at all. And we find in Matthew 17, would you read this with me? Go. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as... Yeah, so we know the essence of God is light. Now, here's our problem. Often I want to measure God with my measuring tape. God, you don't fit in my measuring standard, so obviously you don't exist. That's irresponsible science. Because you see, whenever you try to match God up to human standards, you will always come to vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I can't figure him out. So, what do you measure God with? Measure yourself by God's standards, not God by yours. Start with that, and you'll be far brighter. So, well, how do we do that? Now, you see, remember God said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Do you remember that? So, we know that God's measuring standards are so different from ours. And you can't measure God by your own standards. For example, if God is light, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Per second. 186,000 miles per second. Do you know how that is in miles per hour? Light travels at, do some math, 700 million miles an hour. That's how fast light travels. All right? So if God is moving at light speed and we're moving at fleshy speed, there's a major difference, because it takes me 2 days to go circumnavigate the globe traveling at about 600 miles an hour in a fast jet without refueling, so which is impossible. But if it has to refuel, it takes about 2 days plus. All right, so 2 days to get around the world, right, at the speed of man, what we can conjure up with our best technology without burning the plane up. All right, 2 days. Watch this. Hear that snap? That snap, that snap, and three snaps, light went around the world 1,000 times. That's the speed of light. So what happens is, in 1 day, what we travel in 1 day, light will travel 27 million times further. So at the speed of light, what we would create in 1 day is very little. What God can create is 27 million times more. So in 1 year versus God's year traveling at light speed, the difference is this is 1 year, all right? How's about God in 1 year? 9.8 billion times more than we. So if we say that God did it in 1 day, that's 27 million years, 2 days, 3 days. That's hundreds of millions of years old. But you see, when God created, he didn't move at human speed. He moves at light speed. And so in a snap, he does far more than 100 of our lifetimes would see. So you see, when we measure God, measure him right. And it's poor science to say, well, it doesn't fit on our yardstick, so God isn't real. No, he doesn't use yardsticks. He uses light. And don't measure God by our standards. Because it's like saying, how many cups is it between my house and yours? Measure it in cups. Like, what? It doesn't fit. But yet we do that with God. I think, well, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. You're measuring God with a wrong standard. So you always start with the Bible as true. And then get your mind going, and it will help you to become someone that's renewing your mind. So when you look at the Word of God, this is about eternal life. Because you see, people will say, Wayne, why doesn't God put all of that in the Bible about scientific stuff, about Cro-Magnon man, about dinosaurs, about how he created things, about moving at the speed of light and quantum physics? How come God doesn't put it in here? I'll tell you why. Let's read the next verse and you'll see. Go. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. If God put all of that in here, do you know how big this book would be? You couldn't carry it around. It would be far too big, far too complicated. So then why is this what God canonized or made the Bible? I'll tell you why. Let's read the last verse and you'll see. Go. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. That's the purpose of the Bible. It's not to explain everything that God did in creation. One day you can get to heaven and you can say, Lord, would you run the video of creation? And it'll take you a million years to see the movie because it'll last that long. But you'll have plenty of time up there, much more than you have down here. And God knew that. So in our short time here on the earth, He gave us enough to get us into heaven so we can find out. But if you don't even take that first step, it doesn't matter how much you do under the sun here. You'll come out with vanity of vanities and you'll miss heaven. And so that's why the Bible says it's a grievous task that God has afflicted man with, because some people can spend their whole life trying to figure it out and miss heaven and still come up with nothing because it can't be explained outside of God's intervention. So always remember, the Bible is for eternal life, to give you a quality and a quantity, not just eternal life, but an abundant life here on the earth. Start there, and then you can start to unpack the things of God later on or in this life, but you know that you have eternal life through Christ Jesus, and everything will start to make far more sense, even quantum physics, because God created all of that. He designed all of that. He designed the principles behind all of that. So never forget what the purpose of the Bible is. It's for examples to follow, lessons to learn, and eternal life through faith in Christ to be gained. You catch that, and you've got it. That's where we begin. Let me give you an example of how God brings it down to application. As you know, last week I spoke in Phoenix, and do you like the suit and tie? I ain't wearing it here. And but after I got down off the stage after speaking, there was a security guard in his security uniform. It was at the Hyatt Convention Center, and the security guard was waiting there. And just after I got down, he stopped me and he said, excuse me, he said, I was listening to your message. I said, oh, good. He said, you know, I'm not a Christian, and he pointed to his heart, but I need renewal right here, because my talk was on renewal. I need renewal, he said. Big tears came to his eyes, and I said, why don't you sit down with me? I asked him his name, and he sat down. And over the course of the next few minutes, I opened the Word of God and was able to lead him to Christ, and he received the Lord right there. And you know, I thought, that's what it's all about. Because we can get involved with all of this religious stuff or really good stuff on renewal, but if it's not transforming lives, we kind of missed it. And it was like the Lord said, Wayne, don't forget, although I'll have you speak to these 4,000 leaders, never forget that I'm here for that man's soul. And that's the Word of God. You connect those two together, and it's amazing what God's about to do. The purpose of the Bible. Our desire is that each one of us will begin to be a people of devotion, that you'll start reading the Bible little by little every day. If you don't have a journal, get one out in the back there. Get a journal and start. You say, but Wayne, I don't understand 90% of what I read. Don't worry about that. Don't journal on the 90% you don't understand. Journal on the 10% you do. Because if you're faithful in what God shows you, even if it's a sliver, next year it'll double, and then the year after triple, and then quadruple. And pretty soon God will be building your wisdom. You'll start to see things in a circumspect way. And you'll think, wow, where did it all begin? By being faithful with what God showed you. Journal that in the SOAP acrostic, S-O-A-P, scripture, observation, application, prayer. And there will accumulate in you a clarity on God's plan. And it will accumulate in you a wisdom that's beyond mankind. Let's all be a people of devotion as we enter a summer where we make the Word of God our mooring and our anchor again. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to take communion together to say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I do understand that you died for my sins and you've given me forgiveness through your blood, that I want to receive that. I don't understand it yet, but I receive it in my heart. And we're going to take communion together as we all ratchet back to the cross. As you take the bread and the cup, just hold it for a little while and ask God to reveal himself to you. He will. He will. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful church called New Hope. We ask your blessings, your guidance. Help us to look in your word for examples to be followed, lessons to learn, and life in Christ to be gained. We want to start with you, not with us. Your plan, not ours. Your wisdom, not ours. And thank you, Lord, for coming to redeem us. We receive this cup, the bread, to remind us that you died for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And then when the Creator himself is living in us and through us, then you'll renew our minds so that we'll begin to understand the things around us. For without you, our brain just can't handle it. But with you, you'll be able to give clarity so the wisdom of Solomon can be granted to us so that we can be wiser still, that it's not at the end of our life that we come to the conclusion, but at the beginning, we say, I choose to fear God and to obey his commandments. And then as you work in us, we begin to see things much more clearly. So we thank you for this time of communion where we ratchet back to the cross, the simplicity and purity of our devotion to you. Give us your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Let's stand together. If you can take your cups with you as you leave, there'll be some receptacles that you can deposit it in as you go out. Okay? Well, don't forget today at 3:00, we have water baptism. If you've never been baptized in water, come bring a potluck dish, change of clothes, and we'll have a public time where many will go under the water saying, I die to my old way of thinking and living, and I want to live according to Christ's resurrection power. It's a powerful statement. But now let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these around us. Thank you for your life in us. Thank you for your power that comes through us. We ask your blessing as we go from this place. May we go as ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seal that again with a clap offering, would you? And let's sing our final song together.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Purpose of the Bible by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.